All right. Okay. We've got a very special service for you today planned for the remainder of our time. It's going to be different than what it's been, on a week-to-week basis. But we are going to highlight some really neat things, and I think that you're going to see some opportunities that you're going to want to take advantage of today. And I've just, as we've been getting closer and closer to this service, I've been getting just more and more excited. One, excited about the church that I get to attend. I'm excited about the church that I get to raise my family to be a part of. And so many of you know that to be true. But so excited to share with you as we go through this service what God has been doing through First Wesleyan Church, and excited to share the opportunities that are right there for you. I believe that what we're going to talk about today can really answer some questions for so many of us as to why we've been running ourselves ragged in life but don't always feel like life is delivering. Do you ever feel that way? You're running, you're running yourself ragged, but for some reason, something seems to be missing. Something's not delivering like it really should. And I believe that I didn't come up with it. God knows, because he made us, he wired us this way. And Jesus talks to us, I believe, throughout Scripture in a number of places, but today we're going to see where Jesus talks to us, I believe, about this issue, saying, I made you to live life in a different way. And if you live life in this upside-down kingdom kind of way, then you'll start to find what you've been looking for. Now, in the Upside Down Kingdom series, we're going to continue in that, and I'm going to kind of intro that just a little bit today. We've been talking about how when Jesus came to earth and he started talking and teaching, he was speaking about a kingdom that was different than any kingdom that we've ever heard of before. It was a different way to see things. It was a different way to live. It was God's way, and to live in God's kingdom, we would go about things in a completely backwards or upside down kind of way. Now, today we're going to talk about how we handle the things that God has given us, how we manage our life and manage what God's given us in this upside-down kingdom kind of way. And in order to kind of take a look at that, I want to go really quickly to the book of Luke. And there's a couple of stories right there next to each other, or a couple of teachings in the book of Luke where Jesus is explaining this. And I believe he gives us contrasting examples to teach this lesson. And so I'm just going to kind of tell you a little bit of the story, and then I think we're going to have a slide that'll kind of share the end of this passage. But in the first part of the book of Luke, chapter 12, because some of you are going to go there, and that's great, what Jesus is talking about is he's talking about a farmer. He's telling a story about a farmer who, did what farmers do, planted in the fields, but this year this farmer had just an amazing year, a huge harvest, a harvest so big that he didn't have any way to store all of it for himself. His barns were too small to take in everything that God had provided him with that year. And so he was kind of in a place where he had to decide, what am I going to do with this great harvest that I have? And I think he did what a lot of us would do. He's like, I need to make more room so that I can store this stuff that I have. And so he went down the road to the U-Store. And he rented at least a unit, a 10 by 10, no, I'm just kidding, but similar to that. He did that. Some of us have done that. He did something like that. He said, I'm going to tear down my small barns. I'm going to build myself even bigger barns where I can store all of this stuff. And then this is what he says. That way I'll have enough for years to come, and I didn't know that this was in the Bible, but it says, I will eat, drink, and be merry. That's what he says. And that's what all of us are after, right? We all want to eat, drink, and be merry. And so that's what he did. And what's so interesting about this story is this is kind of how all of us would have kind of gone about this. We're like, how can this be that bad? But God comes in. Do we have this verse here? God comes in and says to him, you fool. This very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? I think that's a key. He says, this is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves but is not rich towards God. You see, that's kind of hard for us, isn't it? I think because a lot of us, we would kind of have gone about this the same kind of way. Listen, he planted the seed. He worked hard. It was his harvest. Shouldn't he have the right to kind of, build a life for himself there? But here's what happens. I think, though, all of us kind of tend to lend ourselves to that and lean that way in our humanity, God's right. Because the way in which we tend to do this doesn't always deliver for us like we think it will deliver. And so this is how I think we manage what God gives us in kind of the earthly kingdom, in our own humanity, and that's what this guy did. So first off, we gather whatever we can gather. And this is what he did. He gathered his harvest. He gathered whatever he could gather. That's what we do. We gather, and then he built. He built for himself. All right, and that's what he did, and that's it's hard to see what is wrong with that, but here's what God points out. I think that this is the lesson that God's kind of saying is like life is short, and at the end of your life, if you pass on and you just gathered and built everything for yourself, then what was your life? He says life is short, and you have an opportunity. Like he could have stored up what he had in the small barns and given the rest to the poor. And trusted that God would have provided for him next year. There is a different way to manage what we have in the upside down kingdom. So what happens is when we gather and we build up for ourselves, here's the problem. Whatever we build up for ourselves can't be used to make a difference in other people's lives. And here's the other problem. Whatever we build up for ourselves, not only can it not be used to impact others, it begins to deteriorate. Whatever we hold on to in life begins to deteriorate. And we know that, and so we try to hold on to what we have. And that effort of trying to hold on to whatever we have leaves us stressed and worried. And I think that we have all found ourselves in that place where we have gathered and we have built, but what we have built, we are worried, will leave us, it will deteriorate, and it leaves us trying to hold on to something that we can't control, leaving us stressed and worried. Even as we advance in life, you get a new job and a new promotion, did that leave you with less stress? No, more stress, you know, and worry, trying to worry and stress, like, am I going to be able to deliver the expectations in this new job? Does buying a new house leave you less stressed or more stressed? More stressed. I now have more to hold on to and more to maintain. Buying a new car, does that leave you less stressed or more stressed? More stressed, because now I'm afraid I'm going to get an accident in this new, now more expensive car. You see, we tell ourselves that more equals less stress and more always equals more stress and worry. And I believe that Jesus knew that. So after this passage of scripture, he then goes into, in the same chapter, in chapter 12, he goes into a passage where he says, do not worry what you will eat or what you will drink or what you will wear, because your God will take care of you. And we're familiar with this passage. We typically read it from the book of Matthew, but he's talking about it here in the book of Luke. And what I love about what he says, and it's the same kind of story. He says, if God takes care of the flowers in the field and the birds in the air, then he can surely take care of you. And at the end of the verse, he says some things that are familiar to us. It says, but seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will never wear out. A treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near, no moth destroys, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Jesus is giving us a new way to manage what we have in this upside down kingdom. And it isn't the way that we're naturally bent towards. And so we have to take this instruction and this teaching, and we have to manage things in a different way. What I love, especially in our upside down kingdom, is that line, your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. You understand what I kind of get that as is, why are you out there toiling and trying to hold on and grab a hold of whatever you can? Your Father's given you the kingdom. He's opened the gates to the kingdom. Our God is faithful to provide for us. And so how do we manage things in a different way? How do we manage things in the upside down kingdom kind of way? Well, first off, I think that we trust that God will provide for our needs. We trust that God will provide for our needs, and that's part of this upside-down kingdom. You'll probably find that as a theme throughout the entire series is trust. Trusting in the unseen, not the seen, but the unseen, that God knows you, cares about you, and will provide for you, and then be willing to release the rest. And I know that's hard. to trust that God will provide for your needs and then a willingness to release the rest. So rather than to gather to give, to be willing to give whatever God calls me to give my time, to give my skill and ability, to give my money, whatever, to be willing to give, rather than to build up for myself, to sow into others. For what I build up for myself deteriorates, right? But when I sow into others, when you plant something, what happens? You take one seed, and when you put that in the ground, it produces a harvest. It produces hundreds and thousands more than the seed that you planted in the ground. And I believe that that's what God is telling us, is that if we build up for ourselves, it will deteriorate. What we keep in our own hands begins to pass away, but what we hand over to God and sow into the lives of others begins to multiply for season after season, for generation after generation. Sometimes what we sow into others produces fruit all the way into eternity. Isn't that amazing? And so we can hold on to what we get, and it will waste away. Or we can be willing to release what we have and sow it into the lives of others so that God can take it and multiply it for generations to come. You know what that produces when we release it and we sow it into the lives of others? Well, the moment we release it, it produces peace. We don't have to hold on to it and control it any longer. It produces peace. And when we see God multiply it in the lives of others, it produces joy. Joy. You know what's interesting is that's what we were after when we were gathering and building for ourselves. He wanted to gather and build for himself so he could eat, drink, and be merry. But how many of you found that that worked? If I gathered up enough, then I could sit back and eat, drink, and be merry. How many of you are eating, drinking, and being merry? No matter how much you have. Because that's not where joy comes from. That's where stress comes from. The more you have to stress about. No, joy doesn't come from those things. And that's what God is telling us. In the upside down kingdom, what you are willing to release and give into the lives of others, that is what produces joy. That is what produces joy. And some of you know that when you've been willing to take a step of service, when you've been willing to give to somebody, when you've been willing to invest in somebody, then you have found that that action is what produces something that you could never find in running yourself ragged in life. And so we have to be willing to be like Jesus. Jesus lived this way, didn't he? Jesus trusted that his Father would provide for his needs, and then he gave himself away. He gave himself away. And he has called us to follow him in this, to trust that God will provide for our needs and to give ourselves away as much as we possibly can. And so as a church, what is our calling? To scatter as many seeds as we can, to sow as many seeds as we can, because we know that God has the ability to do what we cannot do. God has the ability to multiply everything that we sow into the lives of others and produce a fruit for generations and sometimes into eternity. And so today, what we get to talk about today is how the church has sowed seeds in this local community, in our nation, and in our world. And I hope that that's exciting for you, and we get to be inspired a little bit by what God has enabled us to do in the lives of others, and we want to celebrate that, and we want to give God the credit and the glory, because again, he's the one that multiplies it. He's the one that makes it produce a harvest and all of that. But I also hope that every single one of us catch the fire. We allow something to light inside of us to say, God has made me for something more than building up for myself. God has created me to be a part of an adventure. An adventure that is bigger than me. And the more I'm able to give myself away and invest in those around me, then not only the more peace I will be able to experience in life, but the more joy as I see God use it, as I see God use it to produce kingdom fruit and expand his kingdom both now and forevermore. That is a life worth living, and that's what we've been longing for, and maybe that's what we've been missing, and I hope that by the end of the service you're inspired to take some steps into service and so begin to sow yourself into the lives of others. So we're going to start with local. We're going to start with Serve Tuscaloosa, and I'm going to invite Annette Cook, our director, up here. And will you give her a round of applause for being our Serve Tuscaloosa director? Now, I have to be honest with you. I just have so much respect for Annette, and I know many of you know her and think the same things about her, but this is what's amazing. Annette is a busy woman all by herself. She's got her own company, her own business, her own things that she does on a day-to-day basis, but every single week, all week long, she is talking with her leaders, she is talking with organizations, she is trying to find opportunities to bring your way. She is just constantly investing herself into this community and this church, and she just does all of that because she could have preached the message that I just preached better than I could, because she lives it. She lives it every single day. Now, you're going to hear from Annette here in just a little bit, but I want to just kind of give you some bullet points. So just kind of give you some of the bullet points of the mission of Serve Tuscaloosa and maybe a little bit about how Serve Tuscaloosa works. Now, here's the hard thing with local missions with Serve Tuscaloosa is I can't tell you everything that we do because we do too much. I literally can't. I can't go through and tell you what we did in our local community last year because just in this last week, let's give an example. Just in this last week, okay, in a one-week span, we are going to serve Thanksgiving, a group's going to serve Thanksgiving dinner at the alternative school in our local community. We had a group of fourth and fifth graders this morning before church that went to hospice to provide snacks. We had a group of ladies who ran the fundraiser for Caring Days this past week. I had some of these. What were some of the other things? Yes, we had a group that provided lunch for Habitat for Humanity just this past week, and many of you are out, you're buying gifts for the Love Tree, and I know that there are groups that I don't even know what you're doing. There's so many other groups. All of that's in one week, so can you imagine if I had to try to trace back and tell you all of the things that the groups in this church are doing? And this is what I love. You've made it a lifestyle, but let's just kind of hit some of the bullet points as to who we serve and how we serve them and why we serve. First off, investing in the next generation. We really believe that one of the most valuable places we can sow ourselves into, because it can produce for generations to come, are our elementary school children. And so a while back, we tried to decide, okay, what schools need our help? And so we reached out, what are under-resourced schools that need our help? And we began partnerships with Cottondale Elementary and Holt Elementary and Crestmont Elementary, and we do so much there. We paint and we do landscaping and we support the administration and we support the teachers who need our help, and we tutor and we have lunch buddies. There's somebody from our church at Crestmont Elementary every single day of the week. We are there every day of the week from this church. And we just feel like this is one of the best things that we can do, because this can not only change the life of a child, it can change their future, and it can change their family tree for generations. Generations can be changed because of the investment that we make in these kids' lives, and they need it. They need it desperately. And we're ministering to their families. That's what Love Tree is. All of the Love Tree ornaments are families in these schools that we are in throughout the year. And I believe that we've got 60 ornaments left, and I expect them to be gone by the end of the day today. And that'll mean that we provided gifts for 200 children in our local schools this year. You guys did. You guys provided gifts for 200 children and their families in our local schools. So let's go on. We are also helping the poor, the hungry, and the homeless. And so we've packed countless boxes at West Alabama Food Bank. That's the picture that you see there. The Secret Meals program, we've packed secret meals that go into the kids' backpacks that they know are at risk of not having food over the weekend. We've worked with a special family, a Habitat for Humanity, this last year, and are going to continue to work more and more with them. We are at Salvation Army, the homeless shelter, providing dinners and providing meals and things like that. And so wherever we have the opportunity, Love Inc. and investment there, temporary emergency services, being involved in their thrift stores and donating to their thrift stores for their income and things like that. Also supporting. We support special needs, we support family needs, and we support community needs. One of the, I think, the greatest things that we do is the supporting of our special needs population here in the area through Caring Days and Eagles Wings. And this past year, we got the special opportunity to be with Eagles Wings for Special Olympics during Love Week, and just some very special, great opportunities. Family needs are tend to be kind of needs in crisis, whether it's abuse or whether it's a single mother making a decision about birth and needing resources in that area, or even now we're trying to find ways to help the foster families even more as a new arena where we can encourage fostering, support fostering families. Community needs, these are transformational communities, and this is general. But they're just areas in the community where they've set up a transformational community, whether that's a rehabilitation center, whether that's like the Brown House neighborhood, there are certain neighborhoods and ministries that we can come alongside and we can support together. A very comprehensive, look, we had over 300 volunteers from this church active in the community this past year, over 40 organizations here locally in Tuscaloosa County that we worked with and that we serve. And those are the bullet points, but I wanted Annette to be able to share with you a more personal story. So I'm going to let Annette, thank you for being here, and I'll let you kind of share with everyone.
Okay. When James asked me to think of one story to share from the whole past year, that was kind of a tall order, because no matter what we have planned and no matter where we go, you people show up. You are phenomenal. I want to thank you for that. But also, God shows up every single time. So it was really hard to pick just one thing, but I'd have. I want to go back to this past February. We were working at High Socks for Hope, and it's a local organization that works with veterans. And the plan that day was for us to prepare household items, boxes, baskets of household items to deliver to the veterans. And so I had talked with the director, and we had a plan, and we had 33 people from this church sign up to go, which was just incredible on a cold Saturday morning. So I got there a little early, and I'm meeting with the director, and I walked into the space where we were going to be doing this, and it was filled. And I mean literally filled with donations, with things they had purchased, with money that was donated. And there was not room for me and the director to walk around, much less 33 volunteers who were on their way. So my mind was just racing. Oh my word, what are we going to do? How are we going to manage this? And so she and I started kind of making a path and trying to create some sort of assembly line spot. And while we're talking, she says, by the way, I've got a truck out front with a lot of stuff on it because we're helping furnish a home for a family, a single mom with two little children. Do you think you've got some folks who could help load some furniture on that truck that's too heavy for? I said, absolutely. We'll have some people here who can do that. And then I'm back to the mess trying to think, what are we going to do with it? So some of you got there early. Thank you very much. And y'all jumped in there and started getting it organized and making a plan. And so while that was getting done, I walked outside. Saw the truck, we got the things loaded, but then we learned that they also needed help putting the furniture together and assembling the beds and putting bedding on and just kind of decorating the house. So James and I talked, and we decided that the best plan of action for that day was to split our group. So we sent half with James to this house and half stayed at High Socks. And it didn't take long at all for the High Socks crew to knock out what needed to be done. It was fantastic. I see a lot of faces of you out there who were there that day. And so when we finished there, I went over to the other house. Well, it turned out it's a house that was built by Habitat for Humanity. And so I was able to meet the executive director while I was there. And she shared that it was in the west part of town and not in the safest neighborhood. And they really needed a fence around their backyard. And the two children, wanted to be able to play outside, but the mom didn't feel safe in letting them do that. And she said, that's one thing that Habitat does not do is they don't build fences. So our minds started working, and we talked, and we made a connection with them. And so fast forward to April for Love Week, and some of you are out there in the mud and rain building a fence in that backyard for that family. So we had no idea that day that, you know, that was not part of our plan to make a connection with Habitat for Humanity that's still going on, or to even meet this mom and her children. But God had that plan all along, and He knew that He was going to connect us with them, and it's just been a beautiful thing.
That was awesome. That was awesome. Thank you, Annette. And that's going to be back up here in a little bit. But I want to invite Reggie Epps. We're going to move into national and global. And Reggie's got at least one fan here, so that's good. He brings her with him wherever he goes. And again, I can't tell you enough good stuff. If you've been anywhere around Reggie, you know the kind of man he is. You know his heart. You know once he hits the ground and he's on the job and he's got everything taken care of. But the willingness of this man to just drop everything in a moment's notice because there's a disaster or there's a trip or there's a job that needs to be done, and to go and to just move mountains in order to make it happen, really shows the kind of heart that he has, the kind of character that he has, and again, the fact that he could have preached the message that I gave better than I could, because he lives it out every single day. Now, there is a ton to kind of go through, but I want to highlight just a little bit on the screen of some of the trips that we've taken and some of the things that we've done here this last year. We have been in a part of, this is one of the neatest things that we do. We've been in a partnership with World Hope International, Village Partnership in the Malai Village in Sierra Leone. This is our third year. It's a holistic approach to create sustainable solutions to break the cycle of poverty. Basically, we want to give them the resources that they need to be able to sustain themselves in a healthy, profitable and beneficial way, and then be able to move on and just allow them to continue to live in the ways that they are living. But these are the things that are addressed in this village partnership, which is why it's a holistic approach. We've drilled a well in the middle of this village so that they don't have to go and walk 2 to 3 miles to go and get water. And when you have to walk 2 or 3 miles to go and get water, you can get sick, you can get injured by an animal, or you can be taken into slavery, to sex trafficking. And so by drilling a well in the middle of this village, it allows them not only to have clean water, but it allows them to not have to make that journey and put their life on the line. Sanitation and hygiene, but then also the clean water means less trips to the doctor and less diseases that they can't get medication for, so that they don't die from things that they don't need to die from. Education, the child sponsorships that we do with these children. As a church, we've sponsored over 50 children in this village itself, and that allows them to go to school, a Christian school in a Muslim country, where they can not only get an education so that opportunities can be open to them in the future, but they may also learn about Jesus Christ and the hope that they have in Him. And then finally, income. We've provided seeds and skills so that they can plant and harvest and continue to make a living that they need to make to continue to move forward. And that's just a special thing. That village partnership is just, it's just amazing. Moving on to Guatemala, we've done a lot of renovations out here in the lobby that you've seen, but we haven't really explained it to you. So I want to explain to you the cafe and the donations to Happy Tummies. So we put this cafe in place about a year ago, and this is how this works. So this is a missions fundraiser in the cafe. Okay, they have purchased the supplies for these drinks, okay? And let's say they cost less than a dollar. Let's say they cost 50 cents a cup. And so this is a tip. If you take a coffee and don't pay a dollar for it, then Missions is able to do less, okay? But if you take a coffee and they're a dollar a piece, and you pay a dollar or more, then Missions is able to do more. And what I can tell you is that every dollar that you put in those little bins there for those drinks goes directly to Happy Tummies, and we've been able to provide, we've got that on another slide, but over 1,600 meals for Happy Tummies, and you can see it's a lot more than a meal. there. And the reason that we did that is we wanted to make it an easy, accessible place for you to give to missions, to support a great cause, because I believe that most of us, when we get a drink and we know that it's going to something good, we're not just going to give $1, we're going to give more than that. It makes it easy to provide meals in Guatemala. So moving on to Cuba. Cuba with Filters of Hope, we provided 200 water filters and shared the gospel with easily that many people, and the gospel was received by so many people. Exciting to be able to be in Cuba and to be able to make our second trip there. And the team just got back from Ecuador, so just back, and they just woke up. They've been asleep for this past week, and they just woke up. But they were able to, you sent them with 200 pairs of reading glasses that they used to share the gospel and allowed people to read scriptures. And that's one of the things that we just bumped into that this year. We realized that people didn't have glasses, couldn't read the scriptures, and we don't want that to be the case for anyone. And then they did construction on two worship spaces. We also, as a church, we're ready to respond if there's an emergency. And you know that there was a hurricane in the Bahamas, and it left devastation. And we don't have to be the first ones on the ground if we have a partnership with somebody like World Hope. And this is a letter that they sent back to us. Our gift got to them so quickly that they were able to do what they needed to be first on the ground to provide clean water through the technology that they have. There's still hurricane cleanup that's being done in Panama City, Florida, and that's why we were there. And you see the group, and you see the lady that we were working, that's the lady we were working with on her house, right? And then we're going to go back this year, so you're going to have the opportunity to go back and continue that. And then this is Plus, and this is, again, this is there's so much going on, and Reggie's doing so much, it's hard for me to even keep track of it all, but he does consistent ministry at the Bibb County Correctional Facility, works with a jumpstart program with inmates that have been released to help them get back up on their feet and back into society in a positive way. We did this neat thing where Amazon.com, have you ever heard of that before? Amazon.com? They worked with us, said, we will give you everything that you need on the ground, you just tell us what it is and we'll ship it there. And so Amazon.com sent us the supplies, and we worked with Samaritan's Purse on a tornado cleanup that happened here in this last year. And that's one of the things where Reggie just drops everything. He gets in the car with a few of you, and they just go. And then we're working with at-risk youth in Utah, Alabama, Leadership Utah, over and over and over, teaching life skills and things like that. So again, that's a big picture and a lot of details, but I wanted Reggie to be able to talk to you a little bit more from the heart level, and so he's prepared to do that. So I'm going to hand it over to you, bud.
Morning. Look, my name is Reggie Epps, and if you don't know, I'm known as Danielle's husband. That's how it always is, Danielle's husband. I'll respond either way. Just like Annette, you know, James asked us to do, listen, there's a lot of stuff to go on here to church, and there's a lot of things that you guys probably don't know about, which we're trying to make that more available to you. A lot of classes are doing a lot of things that are just not put on the media. And that's stuff that's going on. So James asked us to share something that was heartfelt. And so there's so much work that we've done. Like, we just got back from Ecuador, and we've had miracles on that trip where eyesights were corrected, not just by the glasses, but even after salvation. And we've had 17 salvations on that trip. On the Cuba trip, we had 122 salvations. Guys, it says when one is saved, it says all heaven rejoices. Mm-hmm. And we're putting our hands to the plow, man, and we're making this thing happen because of the power of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that's most impactful for me is not just the miracles and the lives that are changed, which that is, but it's the ones whose lives are changed that attend the trip. Because I stress, if you ever go to missions, I ask you to put down all barriers. I want you to trust God in areas that you normally wouldn't trust Him here in the States. And I think we got a video to illustrate that.
Came on this trip to Cuba because I felt like God was calling me to do more. And I felt like He wanted me to come here to open my eyes up so I can see more. And He's done that. And for those of you that know me, I'm a very quiet person. And I actually done some stuff on this trip that I have never done before. And I just feel so much better after doing it. And meeting these people here and seeing the things that they have and what they work with. It's, you know, it's a saying that, you know, some people might have heard, but they always say you got to work with what you got. And that's exactly what these people do here. And that's exactly what God does in each one of us, is work with what he has to work with.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
I'm going to turn this back over to James, but I'm telling you, it is more impactful for me to see the ones who go change than the change that we do when we go. So just continue to support missions. I thank you guys a lot. We couldn't do this without you. Your prayers, what you give and what you do, it's phenomenal. And I just ask you guys, just keep doing what you do.
Yeah. Thank you, man. Thank you, Reggie.
Reggie's going to be back in just a minute, but some of you do know Riggs, and he's a quiet guy. He's a manly guy, and he can, he'd do manly things, but he's a quiet guy, and unlike Scott, me, maybe some others, but he decided to take a step out of his comfort zone, way out of his comfort zone, and then you got to see what God was doing with him and through him. And the reason I Reggie shared that is I think that that's where a lot of us are. We're like, what can God do with me? Like, that's for other people. All of us at some level, we feel that way. Like, what's it going to matter if I go or not? It's going to matter a lot. God's gonna do a great work in you, and he's going to do a great work through you. But I'm preaching to the choir to some degree because as a congregation, you are the most generous congregation that I've ever worked with in ministry. And you are out there, and you are on the ground, and you are giving yourselves away. So we wanted to give you just a few more highlights so that you can see it, actually see some of the video. We've prepared a little bit of that for you just to enjoy.
Hey, I'm Kalikas. I'm a resident at First Wesleyan Church, and I've had the opportunity of coming to Cuba. And man, it has been just totally mind-blowing to see what God has done.
even more valuable than the work that they did were the relationships that they were able to build, and they just built us up as well. We love, absolutely love having teams from First Wesleyan here. It's like a little taste of a home. It's kind of like going home for Christmas and being with family.
What I love about that video is that's the kingdom that we've been talking about. That's the upside down kingdom, and your service, you being there, you being on the ground, you giving of yourself, you investing yourself in others. That's the life that Jesus is talking about. It's natural for us to want to gather and to build for ourselves, but we know that there's limited meaning in that. There's not the fulfillment. It's not the life that we were created for. And the moment that we begin to take steps, and yes, there can be steps outside our comfort zone, but the moment we begin to take steps into service and being willing to give ourselves away, to rather than to gather, to give, rather than to build, to sow, rather than to hold on and struggle to hold on in life, to release it and to let God multiply it in the lives of other people, that's when we stop the anxiety and the stress and the running ourselves ragged, and we begin to experience the peace and the joy that comes from loving and serving and living like Jesus. And so I hope that today you're inspired to jump in and just be involved in the church, be involved in the community, be involved in national and global trips. And so we want to make that opportunity as accessible as possible. In your weekly, you have one of these. Will you pull that out for me right now? And Annette's going to highlight her side, and Reggie's going to talk a little bit about upcoming trips. But what we'd like for you to do, and if you didn't get a weekly this morning, if you don't have one of these sheets, on your way out today, there's a stack of them at the missions table where we're highlighting trips. There's a stack of them at the Love Tree table, and so you can fill one out at either of those places on your way out today. But for those of you who have it, you can just simply put your information here. You're not committing to anything this morning. You're saying, I would like to receive more information about these opportunities. So fill out your name, your email, and your cell phone, because there's too much going on for us to be able to just simply put it in a sign-up sheet for you. And so you have to show, hey, I would like more information on these areas, these trips, and I hope that you check a lot of those boxes. But I'm going to hand over the Serve Tuscaloosa side there for Annette just to kind of explain what's going on there.
And I just want to add that every time we go to do something, whether it's national, local, global, you know, we're hoping that God uses us to bless others, but it never fails that we wind up being blessed in the process. So every little thing you do, God will use it. You see these different areas. There's 8 areas. We have a leadership team with a person for each of those areas, and what we're trying to do is get them a list of people who are interested in working in that area. And you can check more than one. Like you might like to work with elderly, but also with the poor and hungry. And so you just go through that. You see the different local organizations that are part of each of those categories. And if that one of those speaks to you, like I know we have a lot of folks who work a lot at Caring Days. They've really adopted that area, do a fabulous job working there. But you just list it, and as James said, our leader will reach out to you and let you know when there's an opportunity. And we're planning Love Week already. for in the spring, and we would love to have see every one of you involved in some way or another. And as I let Reggie talk about the back, I just want to add this. If you think you're too old to go on a mission trip to Cuba, this lady did it, and if I can do it, you can do it.
All right, I guess it's my turn. If you turn to the colorful side here, yeah. I got all the pictures on the other side. We've got trips set up for those who, for everybody. All right, there's 45 minutes away, Utah, Alabama. We've got a two-day mission experience. Working in Branch Heights Project area with Jerome and Olivia McIntosh. You know, if that's what you want to do, that's great. If that's not far enough, then we can go down to the Panhandle. We can go down to Florida. We can work the hurricane. There's still people just still out of place because of the hurricane itself. So we have work in that in the summertime. If that's not good enough, we can step on the beaches and then drive and fly over to Cuba. If we want to do evangelistic, that's available for you. And then if you want to get even more, we can leave Cuba. We can go down to Ecuador. This is a little different trip. This is new through Fields of Hope that we partner with. It is a more of a National Geographic trip. This is where we will fly into Quito. From Quito, we'll take a three-hour canoe ride up the Amazon, and then we'll land off in the village somewhere, and we'll sleep in grass huts, and we'll eat fresh fish from the Indians in that area. But this is a more National Geographic trip for the more adventurous at heart that's set up. Then after that, we have Guatemala itself. So that will be also with Impacto, where we work with Happy Tummies, but we're also doing a little bit of building in that as well. So these trips are all set up, guys. If you don't want to drive for 45 minutes, I got 4 hours. You don't want to drive 4 hours, we can send you across to 2 hours off into Cuba. If you want to go a little bit further, we can go a little bit deeper than that. But what I want to encourage you to do, I would love everybody to sign up for this, because it's good. It's really good. Not just because of the trips, but because it's good for the faith that I live. The faith that I have is not meant for me just to house for myself, but it's meant to be given to other people. You know, Christ didn't come down on the cross and say, you know what, dying is good enough, I'm just going to walk away. But he died not just for him, for everybody, so you can have what you have. And so when I think about it, I think of myself, when I look at trips, I look at this. I say, well, you know, God made me a city on a hill. He made me into a city. God built me up. God did it. Anything that I'm good at, God did every bit of it. He did every bit of it. And there's a light shining. Am I going to cover that light up? Or am I going to look on this list here, and I'm going to say, when somebody's outside my gateway, am I going to say, you know what, am I going to close the gates on them, or am I going to open up my supply closet and give them something to eat? When somebody's hurting, am I going to open up my shed and go ahead and help them out? When somebody's falling outside, am I going to get my people together? Let's go outside and help them. So when you fill this out, think about what Christ has done for you and what he's allowing you to do and what he has given you the ability to do. Think about it. Are you going to cover up? Are you going to cover it up? Because it's not yours to cover. He has put you on a hill, a city on a hill, to shine in darkness in all places. I would ask people, I wanted to turn my back and say, everybody that I help, I want you to stand up, but I don't want to know for one, because I might blow my head up, or I might only get one person to stand up. But I guarantee you can talk to anybody in this church, left or right. One out of three or one out of five, I've done something for somebody in here. And it's not because of what I have in my hands, but it's because of what Christ has put in me. Mm-hmm. And that's what I challenge you today. Mm-hmm. Do what Christ has put in you and watch him work. It says faith is accompanied by works, but genuine faith, if we put genuine faith in it, genuine faith, God creates a righteous work without us. That's why we can go places and feel great when we go. We wonder why it's so perfect, why it's so good, because God's doing the work, because we are moving in faith, and God creates that righteous work. Cause and effect, fellas, ladies. Cause and effect. So that's it.
Thank you, man. So as you fill that out, we're going to wrap up. Yeah. We just found out there's two preachers in that family now. So
As we wrap up, if you fill that out today, there are black boxes at each of the entrance or the entrances of the sanctuary, the exits to the sanctuary. And so as you fill that, just fold it over, just put it in that black box, and then we'll be able to get it to the people that need to get it. And if you don't have one in hand, then listen, this does take intentionality on your part. Then make sure that before you leave today, you see one of those tables in the lobby, you fill one out, and you figure out what opportunities that you can be involved in. The whole mission behind Serve Tuscaloosa and our national global missions is this. We believe that you want to serve. You just don't always know where the opportunities are. And so Serve Tuscaloosa works tirelessly to figure out what opportunities are out there for you so that they can make those easily accessible and available to you. And that's all that they want to do. Because we believe that you want to be actively and consistently involved in your local community serving and meeting the needs of those that are here. With missions, we know a couple of things make it hard for people to take trips. Money can be an issue. Time can be an issue. And hopefully you see on here with these trips, we've tried to address those issues. Even with the Florida trip, first time we've ever done that. If you can't go for an entire week, you can go for a quick trip. You don't have to say it. But quick trip for the weekend where you only have to take one day off of work rather than a whole week off of work. We intentionally buy down these trips to bring them into a place where we believe that they're more accessible to you financially. We want to have a trip that's under $100. We want to have a trip that's under $500. We want to have a trip that's under $1,000. We want to have a trip that's under $1,500. We do that intentionally because we know that that's an issue for all of us. But we believe that you want to serve. We believe that you want to go. And so we do everything as we can as a church to make those opportunities as accessible to you as we possibly can. And I want to change the way that we see missions. Not that there's a certain group of people that do missions trips. There's a certain group of people that work in the community. No, we all work in the community, and we all take missions trips. And I want to raise my kids that way. I can't wait until I get to take my kids on a trip. Like, that's what I'm so excited about, being a part of a church like this one, where there's so much happening and there's so many opportunities. And so I hope that you take the inspiration from today and you begin to live out that upside-down kingdom kind of life where you decide, I'm going to give myself away and I'm going to pour myself into others. Will you stand with me as we go? I'm going to pray for us and I pray for you. I'm going to pray for our community. I'm going to pray for those that we've been reaching out to around the world. Dear Heavenly Father, we are so grateful. One of the things that we get to see as we look at things that are happening in the community and things that are happening nationally and things that are happening globally, that we begin to get a picture of the kingdom of God. And that's one of the biggest things that we can get as we go. When we stay here, within the walls of a local church, we have a limited viewpoint of you and a limited viewpoint of the kingdom of God. But when we go out of the walls of the church and into the community, when we go nationally and when we go globally, we get a better picture of you, and we get a better picture of the kingdom of God. And we see that the kingdom of God doesn't have one language. No, it's got many languages. It just has one Savior. The kingdom of God doesn't have one culture or one race. No, it has many cultures and many races. It just has one Savior. But that's what brings us together. That's what binds us together. And so, God, I pray for this congregation and their decisions this morning to take steps that are stretched them, but will change them forever. And God, I pray that you'll honor it and you'll go with them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.